WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are
sick. And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. You're on Twitch and you have a Prime Gaming Sub available. You can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Oh, we're here. We're live. We're doing a thing. Apparently, Matt's on his way to the beach. It's March. Why are we going to the beach in March?
Isn't it cold?
He goes to the beach in, like, February. Anyway... You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Linsworth, on the WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTLive to interact, chat, do all the things. Because tonight we're doing a show about WrestleMania matches and telling people why Brent is wrong about a whole bunch of things.
Yes, yes, it's my turn after the travesty that happened on Sunday. It's my turn and Rock's turn to rate WrestleMania matches.
Yes, and Brent knows my feelings on some of his picks, and we'll elaborate through them when we get there.
Is he even here?
I don't know if he's here yet. He'll be here eventually, probably. But he knows my feelings on some of them. So yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that here in a bit, but we got a lot of things to talk about in the news, presented as always by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. A lot of things have been announced that are just going to be coming at us. That's what this news segment is. It's, hey, here's content you can watch on your TVs and your phones and tablets here in the not-so-distant future.
It's called Stuffages.
Yes.
Yay, Stuffages. Woo!
So what do we got?
So, starting off at the top of the list, for WWE anyway, A new Roku original WWE show will debut on the streaming platform next week, titled WWE Next Gen. From executive producer John Cena, Next Gen is an 8-part docuseries going behind the scenes to experience the training, personal triumphs, and life-changing moments of young men and women making their WWE dreams a reality. So this is cool.
So tough enough, but not tough enough.
Tough enough, but like potentially not rigged. Because let's all be honest, that shit was so rigged.
Some of it was. But like, this is tough enough, the next generation. In a manner of speaking. It's being on Roku is weird. I don't know who watches Roku TV, like the channel, but...
That is a little strange, but considering the fact that, like, I'm kind of surprised it's not going on Peacock, honestly. Unless they're not putting any more new content on Peacock.
I mean, they are. I mean, it's happening on April 1st. It's the Bray Wyatt Show.
I know. Which I've heard is phenomenal, by the way.
But no, we're going to read off, they want to put content everywhere. And this is them being on Roku and having a spot there. It's good. And it's not like they filmed it for the start of last year. That Big E's involved and a bunch of other people. It should be interesting to see where they go and how the athletes transform. And they'll probably make their way to NXT at some point. At least with the series, they'll have something to fall back to going, hey, here's the character. Here's who this person is to get there. And they'll have a real moment to share.
Yeah. And that's cool. So check it out next week on Roku.
On April 1st. The same day as the Bray Wyatt special.
I'm very excited for the Bray Wyatt show.
Same.
Anyway, the Slammies are also returning to WWE as part of the WrestleMania weekend under a slightly different name. It's called the Slammies, the Fan Choice Awards. The Slammies will air live on all WWE social media from the world at WrestleMania. On Sunday, April 7th, an event which will be hosted by Kathy Kelly and former WWE champion Big E.
What's interesting is they did not give a time for this. So I have a feeling they're going to be sporadic videos posted on social media all day. But if like, because I don't know if it's a lot. What they're doing is a lot. There's a lot going on WrestleMania weekend. But the fact that they didn't put out a time, maybe because they don't know the exact time yet. But I have a feeling it's going to be short, sporadic videos of as they are able to like cut in and go live on Twitter or whatever.
Since it's being done from WWE World, which is basically Fan Access rebranded, I would tend to think that that's a way to get people to show up to Fan Access on Sunday.
Oh yeah, I was expecting more of a time frame. If that makes sense.
It'll probably start in the morning and they'll do it throughout the day. Like, it'll be thing leading up to the show, you know. Oh, you know, here's Kathy Kelly and Big E with our next Slammy Award. And they do it throughout, like, the day kind of thing as a way to generate content.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, so it'll probably start whenever Fan Access opens, maybe like 30 minutes or an hour after. And then they just go from there. Because Fan Access on Sunday, I'm not sure how long it runs.
I assume it's probably who's... Probably all day.
But with the show now being 2 days, I think it starts, what, at 7, 8?
WrestleMania is starting at 7, kickoff at 5.
So you probably figure Fan Access ends maybe noon or 1, possibly
no.
2. Well, it depends on the talent that's there, unless they throw everybody that's just not on the show on Sunday. And then they can keep it running later, but people that have tickets to the show, they're not going to be there much past like 4.
So here's the times for the weekend: 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
There we go. Okay.
Which is expensive to just go there buying a ticket, and then you got to pay like $200 for like all the VIP meet and greets. It's weird.
Not cheap. It never was.
None of it is. I have a friend who's selling WrestleMania tickets, or a friend who's selling tickets for a friend for like $340 for tickets just to Mania.
God. This
is why I'm watching it from the comfort of my home.
As much as I want them to bring Mania back to Atlanta, that's still an expensive ticket. Now more than ever, because when I went, it wasn't cheap and it was less than what it is now.
Okay, so they've announced the lineup of just regular people now, which is good. Okay. You don't need like a VIP. They've started to put out like the superstar row and stuff, so that's good. VIPs are starting on Thursday. There's different ones, like everyone's like has a slot already, and they're all sold out, which is fantastic for those who spent $200 a pop plus a general admission ticket to get in.
Yeah.
Because the VIP ticket did not cover that.
Never does.
No.
It never does. Because when I went, they weren't doing the VIP experiences. They were doing something else. Yeah. But like the VIP is limited and you're guaranteed to like meet the person and like do all that. But that always... Actually, I don't know if they were doing VIP when I went.
They probably were, but they probably weren't calling it.
They weren't, yeah. But VIP. Yeah, it was like they started doing the exclusive stuff much later. No, I think they were, but it was like $75 or $100 or something like that.
Well, now it's $200. So here we are.
Inflation.
Yep, that's a word for it.
Inflation of something. But yeah, go enjoy it. Go to the Slammies. And while you're kicking off WrestleMania on Sunday, April 14th at 8 p.m. Eastern, WWE's Most Wanted Treasures returns for its third season. The show features WWE Hall of Famers Booker T, Mick Foley, and Lita, and they're joined by special guests Hulk Hogan, The Miz, Cody Rhodes, Sheamus, and more as they travel across the country in search of priceless pieces from WWE's history. This season, viewers will be captivated by the star-studded journey to find artifacts from WCW, and the team will attempt to reclaim pieces of WWE history such as Dusty Rhodes' polka dot gear, Triple H's signature sledgehammer, items from the Ultimate Warrior's illustrious career, and much more.
The one thing that does not say Fluffy, I believe, is the one hosting it all.
Oh, they got Gabriel Iglesias?
Yeah.
Nice. Like, very nice.
Yeah, they're going to try to find Sledgy. Yes, Brent. Yes.
Oh, Brent's here?
Mm-hmm.
Brent, we're going to prove you wrong.
So also on A&E coming this April.
WWE Rivals will continue to develop into the epic rivalries that shape the sports entertainment industry. The dramatic rivalries that define WWE continue to be explored in new episodes. Each one-hour episode will feature a roundtable discussion of superstars, including Cody Rhodes, Natalya, Kevin Nash, and others led by Gabriel Iglesias. Together, they'll take viewers on a ride that explores the battles between some of the most iconic superstars in WWE history. The new episodes will examine influential rivalries, including Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage, Stone Cold and Booker T, Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes, Triple H and Seth freaking Rollins, John Cena and Batista, and Hulk Hogan and The Rock. So he's doing two?
I believe so, yeah. I think he's on that one. Maybe he's not. I'm looking it up.
Yeah, look it up, because... Wasn't, well, I guess he won't be doing it because Top Dollar was doing.
We have more about Top Dollar here in a moment.
Was doing the Most Wanted Treasures there for a while.
Yes. All right, keep going.
Well, you look it up. Beginning Sunday, May 26th, the biography WWE Legends returns to reveal the intimate details of notable WWE superstars, their lives outside the ring, and the paths that they have traveled to WWE stardom. New episodes will explore the revolutionary careers of Mark Henry, Eddie Guerrero, The Miz, Ricky Steamboat, Rob Van Dam, Ted DiBiase, the Steiner Brothers, Trish Stratus, Becky Lynch, and Paul Heyman, in addition to episodes on Stone Cold's final match in ECW. Dude, can they? I wonder how far they're going to go on DiBiase, because he kind of got himself in a little bit of trouble, and so did Ted Jr.
Ted Sr. would be fine, and yes, Gabriel is, in fact. The WWE on the A&E program continues this spring with Gabriel and Fluffy and Iglesias joining the roundtable in all new episodes of WWE Rivals and an all new season of WWE's Most Wanted Treasures.
There you go. All right. Cool. Moving on to the A of the W's and ROH. Thriller TV, formerly Fight, will offer AEW pay-per-views for the first time in the U.S. starting in April. No longer a Bleacher Report exclusive, which I think will make some people very happy.
Because they've had issues with Bleacher Report. So every time you see a bunch of people complaining about it all. And yeah, and now it's going to be on the former Fight TV.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. The one thing it is not, which is different, because it's been airing overseas on Thriller. There is no discount here in the U.S. There's a package right now for the next three AEW pay-per-views would be like $49.99 for all three. Here in the U.S., it's all individually priced at $49.99. So, I don't think they can based on the contract with, I think if Bleacher Report's going to still have it, you can't cut your other provider, I guess. So it has to all be one in the same package, I guess. Terms
unless
of pricing.
They're not going to keep Bleacher Report.
But that's weird because that's under the Warner Media and it's difficult. So,
depends
anyway.
On if he's going to be kept by Warner Media.
We'll see how it goes because we'll see what one of the pay-per-view that's going to be airing on Thriller here in a second. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Double or Nothing will take place on Sunday, May 26th from the MGM Grand Arena. TNT's AEW Collision will also be held at the Grand Garden Arena on Sunday, May 25th. In addition, TBS's AEW Dynamite will animate from the Kia Forum in Los Angeles on Wednesday, May 29th, followed by a special taping of Collision on Thursday, May 30th at the Acrize Arena. That's how you say it?
Sure.
I don't know. In Palm Springs, California.
So, Double or Nothing going back to Vegas for the fourth or fifth. Okay. For the fourth time, I think they're in Vegas. Whatever it is, they're back there again. I thought people thought they were going to leave Vegas. They're not. So they're using the Garden Grand, the MGM Grand Garden Arena. Great, lovely. People hate traveling to Vegas on Memorial Day, but here we are.
I mean, there. You can't argue about the consistency of which they go to specific markets.
They do run it back a lot. So here we are.
I mean, it makes sense if it's called Double or Nothing that you hold it in Vegas?
Yes,
but there are other places you could hold it as well.
You say that, but then you look at, you know, say SummerSlam, and it's going to be in Cleveland. No one thinks summer when in Cleveland, but here we are.
Yeah, but the difference is it's the biggest party of the summer. It can happen anywhere.
Yes, but you could also take, you know, Double or Nothing to Atlantic City.
You could.
Or somewhere else where they legalize gambling, which is pretty much everywhere. It's pretty much anywhere at this point.
Not here. I'll tell you that fucking much. Though they are trying to legalize horse racing. Nothing else. Just horse racing. And I think it's only online.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not sure if it's in person. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, it's just the consistency, y'all. The consistency. And speaking of top dollar AJ Francis, he has signed with TNA for the remainder of 2024. So congratulations to him.
Congrats to him for finding a place to work. He just started a tag team with Rich Swann.
There you go.
In TNA. So apparently he's well liked there. So. Yeah, hopefully they're very successful.
Better hope the crowd is better than the last time we were in Las Vegas. I mean, well, let's hope they don't have the problems that they had last time they were in Las Vegas.
Vegas, they are right. Last time they were in Vegas, they were okay.
Didn't the MGF and one of the MJF incidents happen in Vegas?
Incident? It wasn't an incident. They were just questioning whether he'd be there or not. It wasn't much of an incident.
I mean, that's kind of an incident.
Compared to brawling in and out, it's on the lower scale.
Oh, have you seen, and this is just speculative, this isn't actually news, but have y'all seen that one thing that's been circulating around that basically the reason why Jack Perry is not back in AEW is because CM Punk signed with WWE?
Not that he signed with WWE, no. It's because the rumor was that Tony blames Jack Perry for costing him CM Punk.
No, baby, that's not. Just saying.
Who knows how real or whatever that is, but let's go to break.
Let's go to break. So when we come back, we're going to tell Brent how wrong he was on the WrestleMania tier list. No, we're not really going to do that much. So tune in because we will be rating 40 years worth of WrestleMania matches. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
That's in fashion. Never meant that much to me. Ain't worth asking. Girl, we can have it all. The shotgun blasted, having ourselves a fall. I know it's late, but your daddy's not done yet.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Get the hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw post show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Did you know that you can use support a creator code RockSock in the Fortnite item shop? That's RockSock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree, and this is Nikki, and we're the Bell Twins, and you're listening to the Rap Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right through.
Song on so many different dials, cause I got more hits than a disciplined child. So when they see me, everybody barack, baracks. Man, I'm like a young gun, fully black, barack. I cry teardrops over the massive attack.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. You're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, but you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen. You can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are going to be doing our 40 years of WrestleMania tier list. You heard this first on WTR Live, and now we're taking our swing at it. We're going to be doing it. We have... Let me pull up the list. 40 matches, of which we will be rating anywhere from main event to opener. Opener is not a reflection on anything beyond we just either didn't leave a mark or I haven't seen it. Because full disclaimer, full disclosure, I have not seen everything on this list. So this will be, it will be left to the producer's judgment at that point if I have not seen it or I don't remember it. Is that fair for everybody?
Yes, and we'll do this once again on Saturday to get a third perspective on this list. So that's what's going to make this whole bit interesting.
Okay.
So let's begin. So,
let's start WrestleMania 15. I'm not watching 40 years worth of WrestleMania matches. I have a job, thank you. Anyway, WrestleMania 15. Steve Austin versus The Rock for the WWE Championship.
Okay, so there's a lot to divulge in this one. Was it a moment in this of a match, yes, we should, like, but it wasn't the groundbreaking moment like people think it was, because this was Steve Austin's second title win. That's like, or yeah, second Rumble title win or whatever it was. No, he didn't win the Rumble. Vince won the Rumble. It was the second WrestleMania title win. That's what this was. Anyway, it wasn't as monumental as the first, which is why this goes mid-card.
I will concur with that, because honestly, I don't remember this match, and I'm not sure if I've seen it.
This had Big Show, this had Mankind, and it had a bunch of different things, but as far as a legacy match, it is on the bottom end of it. It could even go opener, but Steve Austin and The Rock. It's at least mid-card.
I think this is, if I recall, just based on timelines, this is where Austin had, like, was riding on his high, and Rock was just really beginning to kind of take off.
Rock was in his corporate era at this point.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't remember this match at all.
That's fine.
If I've seen it...
Highlights of it. You've seen moments of it. But not the matches, it was very convoluted. The whole setup, that whole WrestleMania was very convoluted. And it happened, guess where?
There.
Right here. Philly. Right here in Philly.
Hashtag blame Philly.
Exactly. Next match.
Up next, we have WrestleMania 8, Bret Hart versus Roddy Piper for the WWE Intercontinental Championship.
This one. Well, you could say it's a good match, and it was. To me, it's another one that... When you look at the legacy of WrestleMania, and that's what this whole idea is about, looking at the whole legacy of it, as far as the match goes, it's in the video game, give that much credit. But it's not a standard of, hey, when I think WrestleMania, I think this match after 40 years. In the first 10, yes. First 20, yes. Once we got to 30 or 40, it doesn't stand out as one of those musty, gotta go back and watch matches. I am suggesting opener.
I'll give you that, because I don't think I've seen this one either.
I know for a fact. I don't think you've ever seen that one. Like, the match, quality, good. Overall impact, it doesn't last.
Yeah, it doesn't stand out. Okay, we're starting strong. We're starting with two heaters that I haven't seen.
We're just going for it.
We're starting strong, baby. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is where I'm going to start fighting my corner. WrestleMania 14, Undertaker versus Kane. All right, to me specifically, not to this list, this is a big match. This is a big deal. This is the culmination of a year's worth, I believe, of build, if I remember the timeline correctly.
6 months. Six months, 7 months.
Something like that. But I think the overall was like a year, because it like encompasses like the whole Kane debut and everything. But anyway... Like, this is the culmination of that feud between The Undertaker and Kane. This is the first time they ever met. This is the first time they ever fought. This is two big, beefy men slapping meat, because if you go back and you watch this match, they absolutely beat the shit out of each other. We had druids. We had fire. We had just general mayhem and violence. To me, I love this match. This is a great match to just occasionally put on and watch, not all the time, but occasionally put on and watch. To me, it is a main event. However, to this list, I would give it a semi-main. Can you scroll back up so I can see the categories, please?
Yeah, it's the second one.
Okay. I can see it being semi-main. I don't think it quite falls to mid-card, but I can see it ending up in semi-main, just for the history of what it is.
I would give you main event if you want main event. It would be at the very end of the main event by when we're all said and done. But for iconic imagery, this ranks up there closer to the main event than semi-main event. It's like low tier main event.
It's on that cusp.
So if you want semi-main event, top tier semi-main event, I give that to you. But if you want low tier main event, I can also give that to you.
Let's revisit it once we get done.
Well, I gotta place it somewhere. Where am I placing it?
Put it in semi-main at the top for now. And then if we decide it needs to move...
All right, then there you go. Next.
I was trying to be fair, guys. God.
I said iconic. Okay. Hold on. I said iconic imagery, Brent. Listen to phrases.
WrestleMania 7, The Ultimate Warrior versus Randy Savage in a retirement match. I think I've seen this one. Is this the one we riffed?
No, that's another one.
Okay.
This, I'd go opener.
Just for my own clarification, who was retiring?
Savage.
Okay. I will give you opener, because this does not ring a single fucking bell.
There you go. Next. spice.
Up next, WrestleMania 26, Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker in career versus streak. Brent, yes. You will...
Go ahead.
Actually, can we do 25 and 26 together?
Yeah, it's fine. This is low-tier main event. Because the other, one's going to be top-tier main event. But go on.
In terms of the two matches, when you stack them side by side, for 25, that was the first time in, God, what, at least 5 to 10 years that The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels had ever touched in a singles competition. I think they had flirted with each other, but they had never actually done a one-on-one singles feud.
At WrestleMania. Because, going back, they fought in 97 into 98 with the one at In Your House breakdown, which led to Hell in a Cell, which led to the Royal Rumble casket match, which then led to Undertaker versus Kane.
Yeah, and Shawn being injured and losing a smile and all that other crap.
Yes.
So this was, from a historical monumental perspective, this was big. This was huge. This was the first time these two were meeting for a long time. And also, I believe, at WrestleMania. The build on this match was not wonderful because it kind of was a little bit convoluted. It didn't have a ton of story in terms of everything, but the match was absolutely spectacular. It was flawless. It was a technical clinic in terms of how to tell a story in a match. Like, these two just tore the house down in 25. Now, 26 was a good match. I will give you, it was a good match. It was a monumental match. It was Shawn's retirement. But to me, 26 had the better build. 25 had the better match. Both of them, I feel like, are main event caliber. 26 ranks lower than 25, though.
Yes. I'm just going to do this. End of the era goes up there next to 20, right before 25 at the first spot. Because end of the era is better than 25. And
yeah,
then,
oh God, yeah.
Where's 27? I can find 27. 27 will go. Why can't I find 27? Anyway, I'll find it. 27 will go in the spot as well. I think 27 should be semi main event. We have 27 on this list, right? I think.
I don't see 27. Hold on.
Oh, I never did put 27 on this one. Never mind. Forget that. We were only talking about it.
I would say the first Taker versus Hunter at 27 is semi-main. The match was...
Right, that's why I didn't put it on there, because we had too much of this stuff. But yeah, so I'd put end of there just to encapsulate it all. That should be above 25. They're together.
Yeah.
As top two.
No, I 100% agree with that. 28, end of an era, was a spectacle to behold.
Yes. So instead of going back to the entire topic, that's all covered right there.
Yeah, the battle for Shawn's love tops them all, though.
Yes, because it was so great.
The storytelling, the emotion, just, again, all the visuals, everything that happened in that match, the level of violence, you had people doing what they do best in that match. You cannot complain, other than Taker's horrible hair, which takes it down a notch or two. Why, Mark? Why? Why? I just want to have words with that man about why he did that. But other than that, it was a spectacular match in every sense of the word. And just the iconic image of them standing at the stage at the end and all of us crying because of what that image was just amazing. So yeah.
All right, now let's continue back on this list.
WrestleMania 18, The Rock versus Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Match was solid. Crowd was amazing. It's hard not to put this in the bottom of the main event.
Oh, I could put it in semi-main easy. Didn't do anything for me. It didn't ring any bells for me. But you do you.
I'll give you top tier semi-main event. I can agree to that.
Yeah, because you do have the image of, like, Rock and Hogan glaring each other down.
It's iconic imagery, yes.
But the match itself... It's okay.
So Undertaker, Kane, Rock, Hogan. Makes sense. They're together next to each other now. They're in the right spot.
They're in the right spot.
All right, we did end of the era. Speaking of iconic imagery.
The Rock versus John Cena. Once, in quotations, in a lifetime. Technically twice. But I believe this is the first one.
This is the first one. This is once in a lifetime.
I'm trying to remember this match. I watched it.
It's good.
It wasn't a barn burner from what I remember.
It went long. It was good. It was actually really good, especially considering Rock getting hurt and everything. I'm going to follow our what we've set as a standard, right? Mm-hmm. Iconic imagery. It goes below Undertaker Kane.
Okay. I can give you that.
All right. Next.
WrestleMania 32. Charlotte Flair versus Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch for the Women's Championship. This was the first time that the brand new women's title, no longer Divas, women's title would be defended at WrestleMania.
Which no one knew about till the day of.
It's in Becky's book. Go read it. These three women tore the house down. Absolutely tore the house down. Left their mark on history with this match. Gave us everything we could want more. In terms of the entrances, in terms of the wrestling, in terms of the storytelling, in terms of everything, this was a phenomenal match. To me, this is a main event.
Yes, it is not top tier main event. It will end up being mid main event, but there it goes.
There it goes. WrestleMania 3, Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant for the WWE Championship. The iconic moment of Hogan and Andre staring at each other down that has been drilled into our psyche for years.
Semi-main event.
Yeah.
It's our semi-main event right now is iconic imagery, and that's what this is. Because the only thing people talk about is one iconic moment. The match itself was fine, but it's all built to the slam heard around the world, which is great and huge and impactful for the time. But when you encapsulate 40 years, it doesn't, to me, as a person who's seen everything just about, doesn't hold up as some other iconic matches and moments. It's great, but it doesn't pack the punch.
When you're talking about two beefy men slapping meat, there are better matches, especially on this card or on this sheet, than Hogan and Andre. No offense, all due respect. But as Rox said, there's a lot that's happened in the last 40 years. And to me, there are matches that are better. And so it has its place in history, but that's it.
Where it lands. Okay. This next one's going to be controversial. Let's talk about it.
This is where Kofi won the title, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston.
Mid-card.
Ooh! I was going to go semi-main because it's Kofi's first title win after a very, very long time. And we'd all kind of been rooting for him.
Kofi Mania is a moment. It's a thing. That's a main event level moment. The match was okay. The moment was just all right. But the phrase became more iconic than what actually happened.
Okay.
It was placed mid-card on this very show. It wasn't a featured main attraction on the show. It was outshined by a lot in terms of notoriety on the show. The phrase Kofi Mania is bigger than the match. Bigger than whatever his title reign was. Even bigger, because I had this talk with Brent. If you look back at the build, it was more about the people making Kofi Mania thing than what the actual build to the match was. Kofi Mania is stronger than the match, which is why the match is mid-card.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that.
I know that it's like, you look at it and it's like, well, what's Kofi Mania? But it's Kofi Mania, and this is about matches. It just wasn't that big, bright, shining moment people remember. Anyway, moving on.
The fact that I had to ask if that's Kofi's first title win.
Only title because win.
Only title win. Hopefully he'll get more. The fact that I had to ask, kind of has to tell you, because in terms of that actual match, I don't remember a thing.
But
I
you
really
remember,
seriously don't.
You remember the phrase
Kofi Mania.
It's a tier list, Brent. Anything goes. What's next?
Up next, we have Steve Austin versus Bret Hart in a no DQ submission match at WrestleMania 13.
It's main event. It's not the top of the main event. It's main event because, again, this is like, it's iconic imagery because it's bleeding out of the head, but it was an actually really good match. It was the Steve Austin breakout moments, one of them. And it started to turn Bret into evil Bret for his last 6 months in the company. It introduced us to Ken Shamrock. And yeah, it's main event, but it's going to be on the bottom end of it by the when it's all said and done, maybe. All right,
I can give you that. Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho at WrestleMania 19. I would go semi-main or maybe mid-card.
It's semi-main. This was Shawn's WrestleMania return. He had a good opponent in Jericho. They had a really good match. One of the standout matches on that show. had the iconic moment at the end with Jericho low-blowing Shawn and Shawn falling to his knees, and they played it back up later in their feud many years later. It is on the lower end of the semi-main, all said and done, because there's a lot better that happened over the years, but it's still, I think it's above Roxina. That's where I'll put it right now.
Okay, I won't fight you. Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch for the SmackDown Women's Championship at WrestleMania 38.
Okay, this is difficult. Mm-hmm. Should it be a main event? Yes. I think it's the top end of semi-main, though, because just looking at things...
Yeah, there are things that are going to top it, that are going to push it down.
Like, there's another one coming up from 35 that I think is going to land in the same spot, but I think the one from 37 ranks above it.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And that has more of a cultural impact. I think Becky and Bianca was good, really good. It was like a really good match.
Oh, it was a fantastic match, but...
But to set... Because it, to not to try to throw everything in a main event level, because that's supposed to be the most special, this is one step down from special. Really good in the history and the annals of wrestling and women's wrestling at WrestleMania. It's one step below one other match that deserve... A couple other matches that deserve to be in the main. So for
because
me...
Because the other match... One of the other matches set a bar. It set a standard.
Yeah, so I think it falls right below Undertaker Kane.
Okay, I can give you that. Undertaker versus Edge for the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania 24. I don't even remember this. I'm trying to remember this. And nothing is standing out.
This is a mid-card match. It was a good match. It was good. Like a really good, it was a good wrestling match. But in terms of everything that's on here, if you're objectively looking at how we're placing things, a match that's not truly iconic, but it was a good WrestleMania match, belongs towards the mid card because it doesn't have that standout thing that sets it apart from everything else that's above it.
Yeah, I would agree with match. Agree with that, because as I remember, was Edge still with Vicky then?
I believe he was in the Vicky era, and yes.
Yeah, and they were like either just begin. See, what I think what happened after this match, because this was like either this wasn't the end of the feud.
No, this led to the SummerSlam and the Cell and the fire and all the brimstone.
Yeah, this was like the kind of the start of the feud between Undertaker and Edge, and they did like a bunch of stuff after that was really cool that stands out. And to me, this was kind of like another era or like a renaissance for the Undertaker in terms of what this feud did for him. But this was kind of the start. And they hadn't really ramped it up yet. So yeah, I'll give you mid-card.
And it's just basing it on our logic for this list. Or at least my logic that I'm going with.
It's what stands out and what doesn't. Because obviously you're fighting nostalgia for a lot of these matches. And there's 40 years on here. Not every match is on here. We watch a lot of wrestling. Or we've watched a lot of wrestling over the course of our lives. So it's like, it really is... what it means, what we remember, and where it falls.
And everything's very subjective. That's why this list is going to be a lot different in terms of full placement compared to Sunday and probably on Saturday. And that's why this is the experiment I wanted to do. See how just it's everyone else's, it's everyone's own opinions. And they're all going to be different. A lot will be the same, but some is different. Next.
So, oh boy. WrestleMania 24. Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair. This is Ric's retirement. The I'm sorry, I love you, and the kick to the face that was heard around the world.
Oh.
This is the bottom of the main event.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Was going to say it's like top of semi-main for me, because honestly, from what I remember, the match was not...
No, it was actually
wonderful.
No, it really was. If you go back and watch it, it had... all the elements that makes up a really good match. And what it takes it, why it goes above like Rock Hogan to me is because it was a really great match and it had the iconic moment. Rock Hogan had the iconic moment in a solid match. Undertaker Kane was a solid match with an iconic fist stare down. That's why to me it's below Undertaker Sean, but it has that iconic moment that encapsulates it.
See, I'm going to say something kind of controversial. I think the issue with this match for me is that my perception of Rick is a little bit skewed because he's come in and out of retirement so many times that I think my present impression of his wrestling is what's hurting this match for me.
Yeah.
I would have to go back and watch it again to have a better opinion of it, but like just based on my present like just view of what Rick's wrestling has been, it's like just okay, you know.
Yeah, I get it. Next
up, next we have Daniel Bryan versus Batista versus Randy Orton for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania 30. This is Daniel Bryan overcoming the odds, the ultimate underdog. He'd had to wrestle, I think, earlier in the night against Triple H.
Yep.
And then he comes into the triple threat to win the World Heavyweight Championship. This is Bryan Mania, essentially. This is his crowning achievement, his grand moment. This match had a lot to overcome because, well, they ended the streak at WrestleMania 30. And I think this match wasn't directly after it.
This was the main. This was two matches.
This was the main. Like, the crowd had kind of come back. I feel like this is top of semi-main.
I can give you...
To me, I don't quite feel like it falls in the main event.
Yeah, I give you the top of it. That's fine. I was just trying to figure out placement for a semi-main. That works.
Yeah, but... Yeah, just based on other things that are on this list, yeah, no.
Because I'm about to make the same argument for the next one. Continue.
WrestleMania 35, Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte there for the Raw and SmackDown Women's Championships. This is the match where everybody wanted it to be Becky versus Ronda. Charlotte got inserted.
Well,
everybody had a mad.
She got inserted, but apparently it was all the plan all along, according to Becky, if you read the book. And Ronda refused to tap out.
Yeah.
Which led to a weird finish. I think this goes semi-main event.
I'll give you that one.
Because even the person who in this match didn't think it was the best match.
Yeah.
So I'm placing it next to, put it next to Becky and Bianca. I think that's where it goes.
All right. WrestleMania 37. Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks for the SmackDown Women's Championship. This is a historic match because this is the first time that two women of color main evented WrestleMania. This is main event.
Yes,
this is a top tier match without the history. This was a phenomenally good match, but with the history tacked on, this is above and beyond main event. No question.
Yeah, it's next to Bret Austin in terms of on the tier list, but it's main event.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 38, Cody Rhodes versus Seth freaking Rollins. This was Cody's return to WWE, to WrestleMania. He's facing Seth. They had a wonderful match together. I don't know where to put this.
Okay. Going off of our set, it's either end of semi-main or mid-card. Not because of the match quality, it's just because of what we're treating each moment to be.
I think Cody has had better WrestleMania matches, which it being one since, about to be two. I think Seth has had better matches before and after. I can give you semi main.
It's next to Cena Rock. In that, actually, it's before Cena Rock. Yeah. It's next to Jericho and Shawn. Yeah. That fits. Because it's very close to the mid. It's just based on logic. Anyway, go to the next one.
All right. Steve Austin versus The Rock at WrestleMania 17 Championship.
This had the Mr. McMahon helping Steve Austin moment. Which we played out on stream a couple weeks ago.
I feel like this is semi-main. Just how we're ranking things. I don't know, though.
Yeah. It's next to Jericho and Shawn. Because it's a good match. It's one of their better overall matches at WrestleMania. Which was not like the overbooked one at 19 and with all the finishers. Because Rock was Hollywood at that point and Austin was broken down.
Yeah, leaving.
Yeah. That's where that goes. All right, next.
Sticking with 17, Edge and Christian versus the Dudley Boys versus the Hardy Boys for WWE Tag Team Championship TLC match. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Is this the first TLC?
This is TLC 2. First one of WrestleMania was the ladder match. This was the third series of these matches. Because they did it again at SummerSlam where they created TLC. This was TLC 2. And this has the iconic swinging moment. Lita got involved. You had the Rhino Gore. You had all the elements. This is a main event match. Because it was a very symbolic WrestleMania match. And has the iconic imagery that kind of encapsulates what WrestleMania is. And what tag team wrestling became in that era. It's not high main event. But it's a main event.
I will give that to you only because, again, this is another match where my perception is skewed because I really want to put it lower just because of all the stupidity that has followed since TLC's inception and how mm-hmm. I kind of wish they never invented it at this point. mm-hmm. Because just of the duplications and the just... what people have done to their bodies because of these matches and just everything else. Yeah, that's kind of where my feelings are on it, but I will give you main event for TLC 2. I will give that to you.
Okay, next.
WrestleMania 38, Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville. This is pure fucking comedy. That's all this is.
It's an opener, though.
No.
Yes.
No. Yes. No.
Yes.
It's mid-card. No, it was a good match.
It was fun.
It was entertaining.
It's opener, though.
No, it's mid-card.
It's opener, though.
It's mid-card.
It's opener.
It was a good match.
It's opener.
Were you not entertained?
I was, but in the annals of WrestleMania, it's not. It's on the bottom end. This is Keishi's match he put on this list.
It's mid-card. It's bottom of mid-card, but it's mid-card. It's not an opener.
It's 100% opener, but I'll give you the mid-card. But to me, it's opener material.
I love this match. I thoroughly enjoyed this match. The internet hated it, but I loved it.
I enjoyed it, but I know where it ranks in the annals of WrestleMania. Anyway, next.
WrestleMania 21, Batista versus Triple H for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Same rule applies for Undertaker and Edge with this one. It's mid-card.
Okay, I'll give you that.
It's the thumbs down moment.
The betrayal.
Was in at WrestleMania. The match itself happened at WrestleMania. It felt, there are better WrestleMania matches. To me, it's a good match, but it's not an all-time classic. It's not a main event all-time great. It's a B. The mid-card's a B.
Okay, I'll give you that.
To me, because main event seems S to me. Yeah, semi's an A. Yeah. This is a B. All right, next.
A B-plus player. WrestleMania 3, Ricky Steamboat versus Randy Savage for the IC Championship.
Semi-main.
I don't remember if I've seen this match or not, so I'll give that to you.
Just putting it in semi-main, because that's where it belongs. Great wrestling for the time. It's what people believe as the standard as a wrestling match. But teaching that in 2024 doesn't hold up. Like it did in the 80s. 80s wrestling, 2024.
It's almost comparing apples to oranges at this point.
And part of me wanted to be mid-card, but I have to, for what it was, I can put it in higher based on historical value of what it was.
Which is what we've been doing.
Yes. Trying to be as fair as possible.
All right, just go ahead and put this one in main event because that's where it belongs. WrestleMania 39, Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Mommy comes out on top. She defeats the Queen. This was kind of the start of Rhea's really kind of epic level run that she's been having and the continuation of it. This was a excellent showing by Rhea, excellent showing by Charlotte. This is a main event for sure.
At the bottom end, but it's a main event because there's a couple more that are going to just knock it continuing down on the main event side.
But put it where it belongs.
I did. It's in there.
WrestleMania 21, Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle. I don't remember this match.
This was good. This was the start of a 3 series between the two. They went hard and for a long time. It was, honestly, in terms of in-ring, the best match on WrestleMania 21. This had Sexy Kurt leading up to it. Everyone remembers that. It's semi-main based on our logic of tonight. The semi-main. It's middle of the semi-main, too.
Okay, I can go with that.
Next.
Up next, we have Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart for the WWE Championship in an Iron Man match at WrestleMania 12.
This is where a kid goes. This is main event.
Mm-hmm. What does the adult say, though? He has to think about it, chat.
I'm thinking. No, this one I have to think about.
I would say, because I believe I have seen this one, this is a good match. But in how we're ranking things, I would say this falls in semi-main, mid-card.
No, it's semi-main. Yeah, it's semi-main. It's probably top of semi-main based on iconic imagery, based on Bret Hart walking out at the end thinking he had won, them doing the 5-minute overtime or 3 minutes and something second overtime or whatever it was. Yeah, Gorilla Monsoon, they had to make sure they had to restart the match. Bret was pissed. They didn't have a finish until that 60-something minutes in. It's above Bret. Yeah, it's semi-main. It's the top of the semi-main at this. Based on our list, that's where that goes. Yep, I feel confident with that one.
All right. Hulk Hogan versus Randy Savage for the championship at WrestleMania 5.
Mega powers explode. Opener.
Okay, I won't fight you on that.
Next.
WrestleMania 6, Hulk Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior. The WWE championship versus the IC title.
You saw this one.
This is the one we riffed?
Yep.
Opener.
Yep.
The craziness of this, from what I remember.
Yep.
So it's an opener. WrestleMania 8, Randy Savage versus Ric Flair for the championship.
Same spot.
Okay.
Same spot. All goes there.
Because I don't know if I've seen that one or not.
Not sure if you have. It's all right. I mean, but again, over time, it doesn't stand out as top of the line.
Okay. WrestleMania 39, Gunther versus Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre for the Intercontinental Championship. This was a continuation at Clash of the Castle, where it was three beefy men slapping meat. I'm trying to remember which was better, if Clash of the Castle or WrestleMania 39 was, because it was 39 had the inclusion of Drew.
So
because Drew wasn't at,
was not the, he fought for the main title at Clash.
Yeah.
So going by what we've done, this is either semi-main or mid, because while it was really good, and it's in the moment, right? Looking at the entire retrospective of WrestleMania, over time, I don't think historically it's going to be a miss. It's not a main.
I think it falls to the bottom of semi-main or the very top of mid.
I say top of mid.
Okay.
Because the longevity is going to tell the story with that match.
Yeah.
Because it's fresh. It's fresh now. Over at the, by the end, it's not going to be as high.
I feel like there were good matches before it, and I feel like that these three will go on to have fantastic matches after it. At least hopefully for Sheamus, because I don't think anybody really knows what's going on with him. But yeah, Gunther has had better matches since. Drew has had better matches since. So yeah, it's a good match, but it's not like a barn burner history maker kind of match. Although they were slapping the shit out of each other.
They were. It was really good. But over time, it's gonna even itself out.
Yeah.
And I'm saving the top for the top.
I think I know which one that is.
Next.
Edge versus Mick Foley in a hardcore match at WrestleMania 22.
It had iconic imagery with the spear through the table. It had a lot. It was one of Mick Foley's better WrestleMania appearances. It's a monumental match for Edge because it kind of took him from...
Kind of put him on the map.
This was his rise. Like, he had won the title a couple months beforehand with the first ever cash-in. But this was one that's made him into what would become a main eventer. Like, the Cena stuff was good, but this was one of those matches where he got to sink his teeth into a feud. Did it all go away when he teamed with Mick Foley 3 months later at ECW One Night Stand? Yes. But he was still the scumbag that he became based off of this. To me, with all that, it's at the end of semi-main.
Okay.
Because everything, the stuff above it has more of a generational impact. But from a character standpoint, this was a good launching point for him. Mm-hmm. Next.
WrestleMania 1. Hulk Hogan and Mr. T versus Paul Orndorff and Roddy Piper.
Opener. Top of it. Opener.
Okay. We'll not argue. WrestleMania 20, Eddie Guerrero versus Kurt Angle for the WWE Championship. This was Eddie's one and only title win, I believe.
He won it a couple, but this was him retaining the title. Okay. He beat Brock the month before this, so he retained the title and had the iconic imagery at the end of the night, but to me, lie, cheat, steal, going off my argument off of the Drew Sheamus Gunther match, it's next to that.
Okay.
That's where, to me, that's where it will lie overall in the annals of WrestleMania.
Because the iconic moment happened the month before, not at winning, WrestleMania.
Right, and then the two of them holding up the belts afterwards. It was the more of it just, yeah, this one.
Yeah, we don't talk about the other one.
Yep.
WrestleMania 17, Vince McMahon versus Shane McMahon in a street fight. You have the iconic imagery of Vince chasing a chicken.
No.
No, wait, that was the Austin match. Never mind.
That was the Austin match.
This
was Linda in a coma state. Linda getting out of the chair, kicking him in the nuts. It's mid-card.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Because it's not semi-main event in terms of quality, but it's mid-card.
I feel like somebody did chase a chicken in this.
No, this one had the gobbledygooker was in the gimmick battle royal, but
yeah. I think there was a chicken involved,
just not in this match.
Okay. WrestleMania 10, Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon for the title championship in a ladder match.
This is S tier main event.
Okay.
No one did it better than those two with a ladder match because guess what? They only used one ladder.
The whole match.
They told the story with a ladder. It's that simple. This is a ladder match that people will look at today and go, that was a ladder match? Why happened to the 15 crashing? No, the ladder was an element to this match. It was a prop. It wasn't a high spot match for it. They told the story around the match ladder and used the ladder to do moves, hurt each other, but they weren't looking to like annihilate each other by diving off a ladder and into three other ladders. This is before the craziness. This was a great moment in the annals of WrestleMania. Yeah, S tier main event. Okay. Below end of there, below Undertaker, Shawn. It's third on the list.
All right. WrestleMania 39, Brett versus Owen. Or excuse me, not WrestleMania 39. WrestleMania 10, Brett versus Owen.
When I watched WrestleMania 10 as a child, I never saw this match. Because the VHS tape I got from someone didn't have this match on it. As an adult, I had to watch this match. Like, it had everything but this match on it, which was always funny to me. Never knew it existed for a while. Because I was young and just started watching wrestling. It's semi-main.
Okay.
I'd say middle of it because it's a good. Maybe mid.
I don't know if I've seen it all the way through, so I'm relying on you.
No, I'll put it at the end of main event, semi-main event. It's close. It's not main event. Yep, that's where we put it. End of semi-main event.
Okay. And last but not least, WrestleMania 36, the Boneyard match featuring Undertaker and AJ Styles. This was Undertaker's retirement match. We saw him ride off into the sunset. And to me, I feel like this and the Firefly Funhouse kind of fall into a special category because this was the COVID era. They weren't necessarily doing things the same that they had always done. I'm kind of with Keishi. This is a top tier match for me personally as an Undertaker fan, because what this allowed the Undertaker to do was to be the Undertaker one last time. It was theater. It was spectacle. It wasn't an actual wrestling match. I will give you all of that. But that's what makes it so good, is that it's a theater. It's a spectacle. And you go back and you watch it and it's hoaxy and it's chintzy at points, the hand sticking up out of the dirt, you know, what have you. But it's in the end, it's the Undertaker riding off into the sunset on his motorcycle, not to be seen again in a wrestling context. only to be at this point a manager or a spokesman or a company guy or a one-man show dude or whatever you want to call it. This was the last and final appearance of The Undertaker that we ever got to see. And so to me, this is a top-tier match. This is an S-tier match just for what it is. And I would put the Firefly Funhouse in that same category just based on the execution alone. Because a lot of these matches were thrown together at the last minute. They didn't know what was going on. And nobody knew at this point that year, if you live through the dark times, if we were ever going to have a WrestleMania. And so the fact that we even got this, that we got to see it, puts it up for me. And it's pure nostalgia that I'm going off of. But to me, just to see The Undertaker be The Undertaker one more time, to see him just beat the shit out of AJ Styles in a side lot in Florida somewhere, makes it S tier to me. Just for everything that it was, everything that it is. Will it hold up the test of time? I don't know. But to me, it's S tier.
It's the very bottom of S tier. And that's where we'll place it. Because it's a moment right there with Shawn and Flair.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it should belong, in S tier, in the main event. So there you go.
There you go. There's our list.
We'll see how it compares. How do we do? We'll see how it compares.
I'm not showing on the screen, but...
I know, because I have to fix it. It's fine.
Oh, okay.
Right. I hit a button. I'll fix it.
You hit a button? You broke
but
something?
But I got the picture, so we're good.
Okay. All right. As long as you have the picture and we don't have to break it again.
No, we're good. We're good.
But we're done. I think that does it for us. What do you think?
We are done. Chat, tomorrow night, GM Battles. 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll book some more shows. Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's WTR Game Night featuring Uno. Followed by CB Raider, where they get to do this list. Sunday night, it's WTR Sunday Wrestle Talk Radio. 10 p.m. Eastern, WrestleMania Preview Edition. Keishi's back, too.
Yay! Hi, Keishi!
Monday night, it's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday and Wednesday, simulations of day one and day two of WrestleMania. Hopefully they tell us what's on which day so we can do it properly. If not, we'll just figure it all out. We'll be back next Thursday to preview WrestleMania. In terms of WrestleMania coverage, Saturday, a week from Saturday, CB Radio will be live with myself and whoever else decides to join, whether it's me, Brent, Keishi, if he's welcome, Tim is welcome. The four of us probably will talk about WrestleMania in a CB on a special CB Radio. And then WTR will cover night two. That's the plan. It's a working plan for WrestleMania coverage. Should be fun stuff. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Chat if you have Amazon Prime. Link to your Twitch account called Prime Games. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangle at the bottom of the screen. You can use credit code RocketSock or...
Lin's M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item shopper. Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LANSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@LinsWard. And you can follow me over on TikTok, while it's still alive, LinsWard0. And while you're following and liking and subscribing and doing all the things, go check out Matt's channel, youtube.com/MBG1211. That's MBG Films. Go tell him we said hi and, you know, like all his content because he's amazing. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you later. Bye.
All the channels that have broken down. Now you bring it up, I'm gonna ring it up just to hear you sing it out. Step from the road to the sea to the sky, and I do believe what we rely on. When I lay it on, come get to play it on, all my life to sacrifice. Hey, oh, listen.